Bible says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Amen. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help us, just for a little while on the thought, you don't want to miss this kiss. Amen. You don't want to miss this kiss. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask God to help us tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. Lord, we live, we move, we have our being in you. God, we're looking for you to help us in this service tonight. God, we need your anointing. It makes preaching easy and effective. God, I don't want to say one thing tonight that you're not saying. I don't want to do one thing in this service that you're not doing. Pray the presence of God would grip every heart, every life, every mind, every emotion. God, that in this service we would be totally transformed by the presence of God. Lord, we need your presence here tonight. God, we're looking to you, not of ourselves. God, have your way in the midst of us. And we'll leave here praising you and thanking you and giving you the glory for what you do here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Y'all just patty caking. I'm not talking about it. The president didn't just walk in. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Come on, give him a hand clap. Praise tonight. Appreciate the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The book of Luke chapter 7, as you begin to read in what we read as our text, we begin to read about a man by the name of Simon, a Pharisee that invited Jesus into his house for supper. He was having the rabbi, the visiting rabbi, over, and it was for him to, if you could, win a little bit of brownie points as a religious leader of the day. It was considered a religious merit for Simon to have this visiting rabbi. Maybe Jesus had just got done teaching in the temple, and he wanted to invite him in to receive a religious merit for having this rabbi, amen, this famous rabbi, come in to eat with him. Amen. Now, it's not that Simon was a great follower of Christ. Amen. But Simon had become a fan of Christ. Amen. There's a big difference between a fan and a follower. We've got a lot of fans in the house of God nowadays, but we don't have too many people, I believe, that we can call true followers of Christ. The difference is, amen, is that a fan is kind of like that guy that you see up in the football stands that has no shirt on and has a big letter painted on his chest. Amen. He's hooping and hollering in the stands. He knows everything about the team. He knows all the stats, and he's got signed jerseys hanging on his wall at home. He knows all the stats about all the players. He knows where the quarterback went to college. He knows everything. And there's one thing about that man. He's never been in a game. He's never broke a sweat out on the field. He's never took a hit out in the open field. He knows the stats, but he does not know the players. He yells and cheers and gets excited. excited. Nothing is required of him. And there is no sacrifice required of him. And when that team starts, amen, doing a little bad, and when that team is not getting him excited anymore, amen, he'll leave and not become, amen, not be that enthusiastic admirer anymore. Fans want to be close enough to Jesus to get all the benefits, amen, but not close enough that it requires anything of them. They compare their relationship with Jesus to the commitment of others. And most of the time they compare themselves with the spiritually anemic in the church. And so therefore they look at one and say, I'm as good as them, and so I must be all right. Amen. A fan, amen, they use religious rulers and point to how good they observed rituals and rules. And they show that I'm a real follower because I've kept the rules. And I'm a real follower because I've kept the rituals. And I'm really a follower of Christ because of what I do. A confused admiration for devotion. They mistake knowledge for intimacy. They assume that good intentions make up for their pathetic faith. Amen. Our churches have turned from sanctuaries to stadiums full of excited fans. Amen. We have to realize tonight that if you are going to be a follower of Christ, it's going to cost you something. Matter of fact, you've got to realize tonight that if you're going to be a follower of Christ, it's not just going to cost you something. It's going to cost you everything. Oh, yes, we can preach a whole message about the difference between a fan and a follower. But Simon, amen, this man, when the world and when those around begin to look at him, they would most often declare that truly this man is a follower. Truly this man is a man of God. But, amen, Christ is about to reveal something in Simon's life that's going to let everybody know that he's not really a follower. He's just a fan. I'm going to save you the discomfort of preaching the rest of that message tonight. Amen. But Simon brings Jesus into his home, and he brings him in supposedly as an honored guest. Amen. There are certain things you did when you brought a guest into your home. There are certain things, amen, that were a custom that you did to honor someone that you brought in as a welcome guest. Let them know that they are welcome. For a common man, one of the first things you did when they come into the house was you offered them water to wash their feet. You either offered them water or one of your servants washed their feet. And if they were a greatly honored or a highly honored guest, amen, you wouldn't offer them water. You wouldn't get a servant to wash their feet. But you yourself, amen, would humble down and wash them yourself. Not somebody else, you. Amen. Amen. Not your neighbor, you. Not your servant, you. It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of servanthood. If you didn't realize it tonight, you walked into a church service. We come here tonight not to do anything less than to serve the Lord. We come here tonight, amen, proverbially, to put a towel around our waist and to bow down at his feet and to serve him. And if sometime in the midst of it he decides to reach down and heal us, that'll be all right. And if sometime in the midst of it he decides to reach down and save somebody, that'll be all right. We're not here tonight to do anything less than to humble ourselves and to wash the feet of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You welcomed that guest. You respected them by honoring them, washing their feet. You showed servanthood by washing their feet. Amen. Another thing you did for a distinguished guest, you gave them oil to anoint their head. Amen. If it was a highly honored guest, you gave them oil, amen, to anoint their head. It's an indication of prosperity and
rejoicing. In the book of Psalm 23, David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." It was a sign of honor. You know what it was saying? It was saying, "I'm glad you're here." Amen. I was saying, "I'm glad you're here." I wonder how many church services, amen, that we don't look at Christ and say, "I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're in the midst of us. I'm glad you stopped by." My God, tonight some of us will go through this whole service and never let him know that we're glad he's here. Some of us will sit through a whole revival and never let God know, "I'm thankful you come by. I'm grateful you're in the house. Did you know God was in the house tonight? Did you know Christ is here?" You ought to anoint his head and say, "I'm glad you're in the midst of us." Oh, I hope I can preach to you tonight. Amen. I want him to know that we honor his presence. I want him to know that we honor who he is. Come on now. We've gotten so accustomed, our God, to Pentecostal worship. Amen. That we no longer honor the presence because it's become such a part of what we do. That's why there's conversations being carried on while the gifts of the Spirit are operating. That's why people are easily in and out during a move of God. It's because we forgot, amen, that he is a guest in the house. Come on now. And we must honor him for who he is. Oh, it may get tight tonight. Amen. Oh, you wash the feet. You honored them with oil on their head. And not only that, but you greeted them with a kiss on the cheek. If it was somebody of an equal status, you would meet them with a kiss on the cheek. If it was somebody of high honor, you would greet them with a kiss on the hand. To neglect the kiss was equal to ignoring that they were even there. I'm going somewhere. Amen. Like somebody coming into your house, sitting on the couch, and you never even acknowledge they're there. It's like somebody coming in your house, sitting in the living room, and you keep on washing clothes and keep on washing dishes and walk right by them and never even notice or make any acknowledgement that they're even there. I know you're tired. I know you get weary. I know you got things on your mind. My God, but when we come into this house and he meets us here, we cannot walk about as if God is not in the midst. What are we teaching our children? We're teaching them that God is only there when we want him there. Oh yes, when we come into this house and we stand in this holy ground, we've got to realize, God, I cannot go through this service and not kiss him. I cannot go all the way through the motions and not kiss him. I've got to let him know, I know you're here. And I'm glad you're here. And I want you here. I don't want you anywhere else. I want you right here by me. If they don't want you on that pew, come down, sit in my pew. If they don't want you at that church, come down to my church. Are you with me tonight? I want to honor his presence. Hallelujah. In the Hebrew, the word for worship means to bow down. You can do that from a distance. You can do that. Amen. Those Indians. Amen. They do it anywhere they're at. They can do it from a distance. But when you get in the New Testament and you talk about worship, it is totally different definition. It means to kiss. It means like a dog licking the hand of his master. See, you can bow down from a distance, but it takes contact to kiss. I want to ask you something today, and it may be quiet tonight, but have you kissed Christ today? Have you made contact in the service? Huh? Have you kissed him today? Amen. That's a very sobering thought. To know that I could go through my days and never make any contact with Christ. I can go through a church service and never make any contact with Christ. I can go all the way through this preaching tonight and never make any contact with Christ. Amen. But you know, when he's in the midst, that's a kiss I don't want to miss. When he's present, that's a kiss I don't want to miss. When I know he's here and he's ready to move, that's a kiss I don't want to miss. Yet here Christ sits in Simon's house. Amen. There was no washing for his feet. There was no oil for his head. And there was no kiss for his hand or cheek. Now we cannot say that Simon was an ignorant man. He lived his life studying the scriptures. By the age of 12, he could quote the first 12 books of the Bible. By the age of 15, as a Pharisee, he could quote the whole entire Old Testament. That includes over 300 prophecies about the Christ that sits right there at his table. He had knowledge, but he had no intimacy. It's one thing to have knowledge about God. It's one thing to be able to say all the books of the Bible in one breath. Amen. Wouldn't it be good if it was that easy? We got to the gates of Pearl. And Peter looked at us, if it's Peter, and says, all right, everybody that can say the books of the Bible in one breath, come on in. But it ain't that way, is it? Amen. It's about commitment. It's about intimacy. It gets tight when you talk like this. It's about intimacy. Intimacy. Into me see. Are you following? Into me see. Amen. It's about getting one-on-one with Christ. It's about more than just knowing him. Amen. And you know, Simon's about to miss the greatest move of God that's ever come to his house. I'm persuaded that people are missing the greatest move of God that could come to their life because they missed that kiss. Oh yeah, I'm going somewhere. Amen. Because they missed the kiss. Amen. Because they missed making contact with him. Amen. They missed the greatest moves of God that could take place in their home and in their lives because they truly have never made contact with him as he sits there and asks. He sits at the table, at Simon's table. The Bible says that all of a sudden a woman enters into the picture. All of a sudden, we don't know her name, but the Bible calls her sinner. That's what the Bible calls her. Amen. She is a notorious sinner. She's probably a prostitute off the street. I don't know, but somehow she found out that Jesus was there. Somehow she heard that Jesus was in the house. I want you to understand something tonight. If we don't kiss him, God will raise up the rocks, amen, to kiss him in our place. You know what a rock is? It's a dead, motionless, amen, limited purpose object. It's just like people in the world. When you're not born again and you don't know Christ, your life is dead. Come on now. It doesn't have a purpose. It's just there abiding. God will raise them up. Oh, I like it. When somebody gets saved, our God and shows out and shows us how to worship and shows us how to praise God. I like when somebody gets saved and shows us what it is to really pray and really be full of God. If we don't worship, he'll let the rocks worship. Amen. This woman knows somehow. She hears that Christ is in the house. And timidly, she begins to approach and to come in this house. Jesus is sitting there, or amen, as the custom was, they kind of kneeled on or laid on an elbow with their feet kind of behind them. And that's the reason why it was so important to wash the feet, because your feet might be in somebody else's face. Yeah, and it may make mud stains on the cushion or whatever else you stepped in on the way you get on the way there. On the cushion. And so it was very dishonorable for you to have dirty feet. Come on now, at the table. And this woman, hallelujah, amen, she walks in and she stands at his feet. She positioned herself low enough
to get at his feet. And she looks at his feet and they're dirty. I'm just going to preach how I feel. We probably won't shout. But she looks at his feet and his feet are dirty. I wonder how many times Christ has walked up and down the aisles of our churches with dirty feet. Oh, now. Because we didn't honor Him. Serve Him. You know why we have a hard time serving God? Because it's all about us. Yeah, amen. It's all about us. Serve me, God. Bless me, God. Move me, God. Help me, God. Heal me, God. Deliver me, God. Bring me, God. Do this for me, God. I need you to do this, God. If you don't do this for me, and Christ is saying, I love you enough to move for you, but amen, He's walking the aisles of our churches with dirty feet. Am I making any sense? Amen. He's not been honored. He's not been given the glory that's to His name. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know why I'm preaching and I'm like this, and you probably don't either. Hallelujah. But, amen. She looked at His feet and they were dirty. Dirty feet. Amen. Does Christ walk in our churches with dirty feet? She stood there. And the Bible said that she was weeping. Now in the Greek, it means to wail. And if you'll read in the Strong's, it makes sure you understand that it's not talking about a silent cry. She is broken. She is weeping. She is wailing. It's not something you can ignore. It's not something that everybody talks over. She has gained the attention. She is wailing at the feet of Jesus. She is broken at the sight of dirty feet. Amen. She's broken. She's had a horrible life. She is a notorious sinner. Amen. She is known as a sinner. She is known as a woman of the street. Amen. And she probably stayed that way so long because she never was broken. But now she's broken. I heard a story. They were building a palace over in Iran. And they were bringing in things from all over the world. Great pillars and great rooms. They were building this palace. And they had ordered special mirrors from France, Paris, France, to come and to be put in the walls of the entrance of that palace. And so they ordered and the crates came. And when they opened the crates, there was no mirrors, but only a bunch of broken pieces in the bottom of the crate where the mirrors had been shattered in shipment. Well, they looked around, didn't know what they were going to do. All the mirrors that they had, the plans that they had to put the mirrors on the wall was now shot. But one man was there and got an idea. Amen. And they took those broken pieces and they say, now when you walk into the front of that palace, amen, you look at that opening wall and it looks like a wall of diamonds because that man took those broken pieces and put them on a wall and they were broken, but now they're beautiful. Hallelujah. And did you know that sometimes God will allow a life to be broken, be made beautiful? Did you know, our God, that sometimes you'll weep at the feet of Christ, our God, but when you're weeping, it may endure for the night. A joy will come. And my God, tonight, I want to tell you, you've been broken to be made beautiful. Amen. Oh, yes. Can't you see her? She had pain on her face, and it's running down her face. She's weeping. She's weeping to the point that her tears are dripping down on the feet of Christ. Amen. She's weeping so much. She looks down at those dirty feet, and her tears are making tracks on those dirty feet of Christ. All she knows to do is fall down. And her tears begin to be shed. She begins to wash His feet with her tears.
And she's a strange woman and a sinner woman in a Pharisee's house, and she's really not supposed to be there. And so she cannot look around and say, could I please have a towel? Could you please give me something to dry his feet? No. You see, the custom that day was that women did not let their hair down in public. They wore everywhere they went in public, their hair was up. And to let your hair down in front of a man was a sign of very intimate expression. Amen. And to let your hair down in front of a man was grounds for a divorce. Amen. And this woman, she's there, and what has she got to lose? I mean, what is it that she's really got to lose? And in the midst of all of that, she lets her hair down. Right there in the presence of Christ. Now we know the term let your hair down. It means just to relax and be yourself. My God, and just get yourself comfortable. You know what I believe God wants some of us to do here tonight? He wants some of us just to let our hair down and let God have his way. Let our hair down and be what we really are. My God, let our hair down and let a move of God take place in us has never took place before. The reason why some of you had got what you needed because you hadn't let your hair down. She let that hair down. I wish I could preach tonight. She let that hair down. Amen. She got real. She forgot about the rules. Huh? Hallelujah. She forgot that she wasn't supposed to act like that. And wasn't supposed to do that. And wasn't supposed to say that. And wasn't supposed to be that honest. And wasn't supposed to be that real. I think I told it the other night. Amen. About that young boy got saved in Valdosta, Austin. Amen. He stand up, testify. He was brutally honest. He'd tell you just what he was fighting and, you know, what he had, what he did, what he didn't do. He didn't know that he was supposed to put on a mask, and we don't talk about stuff like that. And he didn't know that when you get in the congregation, you're supposed to act like everything's okay and that you're not fighting and you're not in a battle and you're not struggling and you're not about to go under. He didn't know that, and she didn't know that in the presence of Christ, you were supposed to, amen, act like a Pharisee and walk like a Pharisee. She didn't know that, God, that she wasn't supposed to be real in the presence of God. Can I tell you tonight, there's some of you in need of a breakthrough, and the only way you're going to get it is if you let your hair down and let God do what he wants to do in your life. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. It doesn't matter what folks are looking at you. I got to let your hair down and say, God, have your way. I do what you want to do in my life. It's just me and God tonight. She just got real. Jesus doesn't expect us to be perfect. We go on to perfection. We follow after holiness. Come on, follow peace with all men and wholeness. You follow peace and you follow holiness. You do what you can. He does not expect us to be perfect, but he does expect us to be real. Boy, it's quiet tonight. He does expect us to be real. That's right. I know some of you are perfect in here, and I know you got it all together, and you should be preaching this message tonight. I don't believe that. Amen. I do believe that we got a problem sometimes being real. Amen. Oh, yes. Just letting our hair down and letting God be God. Letting our hair down and letting God do what he wants to do. Our God, it doesn't matter who thinks you're backslid. Let your hair down and say, God, I just need a move of God. Oh, I just need you to touch me. I just need you to heal me and deliver me. I got the truth is I'm struggling. And the truth is I'm in a battle. And the truth is I'm battling. barely getting by. And the truth is, I need revival. And the truth is, I need a breakthrough. I appreciate the testimonies. There's one thing for sure. If somebody let their hair down tonight, you ain't seen revival yet. Until somebody gets real with God. The Bible says she has an alabaster box. Amen. If you look up that alabaster box in the Greek, it's actually just a container. It holds a precious perfume. Amen. Some commentators say that it was a flask that hung around her neck that had very sweet and expensive perfume in it. And that just before she had a customer walk by, she'd put a little dab or a little drop to woo that customer in. And so up to this point, she just used a little drop at the time. A drop here and a drop there. A drop one day and a drop another day. And now she's there at the feet of Christ. She's crying, soaking His feet. She's done took her hair down. And she's rubbing those nasty, dirty feet with her hair. Come on now. It's long enough for her just to bring it down and dry those feet with her hair. She's not going to stop there. No. She's going to take that ointment that she just gave a drop at the time. She's going to pour it out on His feet. Huh? You know why? Because she don't need it anymore. Come on, somebody. Can we have church tonight? She don't need it anymore. She's not going back to a drop at the time. Now, some of you, you're not the sinner woman, and you hadn't used what you got in your flask for sin. Oh, but some of you are like that woman. You can give God just a drop at the time. You give God a little bit here and a little bit there. I'll give Him some on Sunday morning, and I'll give Him a little bit more a little bit later. God saying, hey, on a Saturday night, I want more than a drop at the time. Why don't you pour it out? Let your hair down. I got to get broken in His presence and pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. You got to pour it out to God tonight. You got to pour it out. Hallelujah. You got to pour it out. You got to pour it out. Simon looked at him and said, if you knew what kind of woman that was, you wouldn't even let her touch you. If you were a prophet, you knew what kind of woman that was, and you wouldn't even let her touch you. Jesus says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. You know what He says? Simon, I got to tell you something. We need to talk about something real quick. There were two men. One was a debtor. They both were debtors. One was in debt, $50. The other one was in debt, $500. They come to the man that they owed money to, and the man that owed money to forgave them both. Right? Huh? Which one's more grateful? Huh? The one that was forgiven much. Huh? Is that right? That's why God will save a crack addict. They'll come in this church and outshout you, outworship you, outpray you, outwitness you. Come on, they're so zealous, they're out door to door by themselves in the middle of the night. Let me tell you something. Amen. You know why? Because there was a lot to be forgiven. Oh, there was a lot to be forgiven. You're not some of you lost your zeal and lost your desire because you forgot how much you were forgiven. You forgot where God brought you from. You forgot, amen, that you were a sinner woman on the street and you came in and bowed down. My God, you forgot where God brought you from. Well, you're preaching like this. I have no idea. Amen. But he looked at this man, Simon, and said, she had been forgiven much. Therefore, she loved much. You know what he's saying? He told him in one place. He said, listen, the sinners and the prostitutes, they're going to go in before you do. Because you got it all together, Simon. Amen. But all she needs is my presence. Simon missed the presence of the Lord. God, help us tonight. He missed what God would have done in his life. He missed because you got to understand, God called you out of sin, not just so you could just shout. He called you out of sin, not just so you could have a Cadillac in the driveway. He called you out of sin so you could be in his presence. Huh? Amen. Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt. I want you to talk to Pharaoh. I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Amen. I'm going to take them out. Why is he going to take them out of Egypt? Pastor Mike around, most of us will say, he's going to take them to the promised land. Is that right? That ain't what God said. That ain't what God said. He said, tell Pharaoh that I want these people come out of Egypt so they might go into the wilderness and worship me. Huh? So I don't want you to get upset with me, but our mentality has become the promised land. Hallelujah. Our mentality has become the promised land. It's all about milk and honey. It's all about what God will do for me. It's all about what God will bring me. And God does deliver. And God does save. And God does help. You know he does. Our God, but we've got a promised land mentality. God didn't bring you out of Egypt, take you to the promised land. He brought you out of Egypt and put you in his presence. Hallelujah. He brought you out of Egypt. I got so you can know what it is. Live in his presence. What does our prayers consist of? God, I need you to do this. I need you to move for this. That's what he told us to do. He said, make our petitions known, but our Christianity has been consumed with us. And it ain't about us. See, you've got to understand, this is the kiss I'm talking about right here. Because if Indian Valley will get this kiss, it'll change us completely. When we walk in these services and we don't lift our hands because it's about us, we lift our hands because it's about him. When we realize that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we realize that everything we need is in his presence, and everything that we need is right there where he is. And it's not about us. We didn't build this building for us. We didn't build it. Come on now. I'm not preaching for me. I'm not. You're not here for you. You're here for him. It's about him. All we need is God's presence. There's healing in his presence. There's deliverance in his presence. There's salvation in his presence. We don't need anything less than the presence of God. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about my ministry. It's not about what I do. It's about his presence. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. Oh, glory to God. You don't want to miss it. Oh, you'll miss. is the greatest move of God that ever took place in your area. If you miss this kiss, hallelujah, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't make it about me. Don't make it about us. Don't make it about our emotions. Don't make it about our trouble. God will take care of our trouble. He knows about our trouble. He knows our uprising. He knows our downfall. He understood it before he got here. God, he's already got it in his hand. So it ain't about me. It's about his presence. You ought to throw your hands in the air and say, I don't want to miss this. Oh, God. Oh, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's right here. Jesus is in the house. And if we won't praise him and worship him, somebody will. Somebody will. Oh God, I know you're here. I'm glad you're here. Holy Ghost, we're glad you're here. We welcome you here. We want to entertain you as our honored guest. Jesus, you won't walk another aisle with dirty feet in this house. Brother Cameron, he won't walk down through Cornerstone with dirty feet. Oh, glory to God, because it ain't about me. Oh, God, it's about him and his presence. You don't need anything less than his presence. Somebody ought to wash his feet. Somebody ought to anoint his head. Somebody ought to kiss his face and kiss his hands and make some contact with who he really is, because it ain't about us. Oh, God. Stand with me. If you ain't already standing, I want you to stand. How many say, I don't want to miss this kiss? How many say, I don't want to miss this kiss? I don't want to miss this kiss. God, you didn't bring me out for me to live my days wondering how I'm going to make it. You brought me out to be in your presence. If I'm not in your presence, I'm not in your will. If I'm not in your presence, I'm not where you want me to be. I mean, it's tired of it being all about me. Come on now. Oh, God. I mean, it's tired of it being all about me.